All right, it's time to reconvene. Would the board members please retake your seats?
Well, you know, one thing that I'm glad to
see. I see they're paying attention.
Yeah, I know. Board members, please retake your seats. A quorum is seated, and so we'll now go to public comment. Rachel Baugh, WBAI. Rachel Barr,
honestly.
Wayne Wallach, Bert Morris.
Talking shit. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I call it to order because the quorum is seated. So you can go right ahead. And you are Rachel?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rachel Barr, and
I am. Speak directly into the mic, please.
It's been a while since I've been behind a mic, so. I'd like to welcome everyone who is not from New York. You're welcome. And how much time do I have?
2 minutes.
Two? Thank you. Yes, I will speak up. I worked at BAI for 10 years, about 6 years ago, and have given money every year. Been a financial contributor, and because I believe in the Pacifica, the original Pacifica mission, I have not stopped contributing. However, I write out my checks with some resistance because I am deeply, deeply concerned about much of the programming and much of the treatment of certain people who have recently been suspended without pay. And for those people who are not from New York, to name the person that person is Robert Knight. And if anyone would like more detailed information about any of the things I mentioned, you can talk to me here. I'm also deeply concerned about the mantra that many producers say on the air or use on the air, which is Peace and Justice Station. I'm not informed as to whether there was a memo put out by management as to whether producers should use this mantra or say this mantra when they're signing in or signing out on their program. However, what deeply, deeply concerns me as a longtime contributor and as a person who believes in democracy is that the inside of the station, and some of it is on the air as well, which more of it needs to be on the air, is the fact that this Peace and Justice radio station, which calls itself such, does not at all practice what it preaches. And it deeply concerns me because I don't really want to give my money to a foundation that is supposedly built on the things that the mission stands for.
Thank you.
And again, I know it's time. Thank you. If you want to talk to me more, I'll be here. I'd love to talk to anyone, especially from outside of BAI.
Wayne Wallach, Bert Morris, Tom Gomez.
Hey again. Talk sorry for the writing. The name is Wayne Walcott, like Jersey Joe.
You need to write it that way.
Okay, so okay, right. I said sorry for the writing. Yeah. But again, I'm going to speak on this guy that keep, to me, ruining the whole idea of this. Because Robert, after listening to the LSB reports today, seeing the different operations that each group take, right? It seemed to me, and happily so, that everybody bend these rules to suit their own purposes. They know hard and fast rubber rules. Now, this thing still had to be applied from WBAI standpoint, like I said last night, more than half of the meeting wasted by arguments over this guy rules. Now, we need to get this out. Pacifica need to set some guidelines to eradicate that in the future. I mean, I don't like to conform to things that I consider nonsense. Anti-progress, anti-common sense, this is rubber rules as far as I go. The functioning right now that we have, even today, the last meeting we had in BAI, we had this directive more or less from the PNB on what WBAI should do in certain cases. I left the meeting with that still being discussed because too much time being wasted by WBAI trying to interpret these things based on rubber rules. Again, the idiotic rules rule. We need to get something. If the PNB says something, then this is the forum to me to bring it up when you have arguments. Don't spend half an hour in our meeting arguing. Now, I'll be here, and I want to congratulate you all on the way the meeting going. I hope the rest could be as productive.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good afternoon. Is it on?
It's on.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm Bert Morris. I'm a listener from New Jersey. And just like say a couple things I want to say. And for the most part, I think like WBAI is really a good station, and I really enjoy and I find it really relevant to listen to. I'd like to see the situation with Robert Knight, if possible, worked out where all sides can get together if possible. But also, I really don't want to be like as an attack on the management of the station, because I think for the most part they are following the mission, and I find the programming is very relevant to listen to. I get information that I wouldn't be able to hear anywhere else on the air because what's out there on the rest of, like, the AM and FM dials and on TV, including cable, some of it's very right-wing reactionary radio and TV, so I find this is something that's really relevant. Plus, also, we need to address with issues of inclusion, issues like with racism that are very much there, because many of those who are really under attack are those who are trying to bring diverse viewpoints, diverse peoples into the station and on the air, and I find it's really informative to listen to different voices from different racial, cultural backgrounds. I guess I would like to see some, maybe more women in it, and I would even on some of like GLBT programming, I'd like to see some more. I'm not saying it's perfect, but there's some very good programming that's out there. Of course, I guess on little things, I'd probably find different ways I'd want to do it than what's done, but still, I'm very relevant, and I'm glad, like say, to have a WBAI to be able to listen to. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Tom Gomez, Hakan Takash, Jeff Press. What is that? Perez.
Thomas Ruffin from the National Conference of Black Lawyers couldn't be here at this time. He will arrive later, so he asked me to raise these points that he's been collecting depositions about. He's asked me to raise these points that he's been collecting depositions about. A number of producers at WPFW are in the process of bringing a complaint on race and nationality, charging active racial discrimination against other protected minority groups. These include Latinos and Arabs. The D.C. Radio Co-op, which was started at WPFW, has routinely been denied access to apply, even for positions that have fallen open. These positions include the position of assistant program director, which was awarded without open competition to a friend of the management. The position of headlines producer, which was awarded without open competition to another friend of the management. The position of news director, which Reem Kathuda, the director of the radio co-op, had no opportunity even to apply for. This form of hiring without open process violates the EEOC guidelines and the Civil Rights Act of 1965. And we will present the full text of our complaint to the full board before the end of this weekend, I hope. If not, it will be forwarded to you. We are hoping that we will be able to have these concerns addressed and answered in-house before we go to civil court. But we are prepared to go to civil court. Thank you.
How come?
Well, yeah, exactly. If WBAI is going to come here and take up everybody's time with their issues, WPFW is going to get a piece of that pie, too. We don't have news at WPFW. There's no news.
Excuse me? In the mic. Directly into the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have a news division at WPFW. We don't. There's no news being produced. The LSB chair talked about the baseball stadium. And, yes, we had people of transgender and gay people covering that. They were part of the D.C. Radio Co-op, which wasn't mentioned in that report. The counter-inaugural to the Bush's second administration was covered from the street by reporters from the D.C. Radio Co-op. The strike at Georgetown for the rights of janitors. We knew about that before the Washington Post did. St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital. We knew about that before NPR did. But they jumped on it before we did. And then after they covered it, we start trying to cover it. And that's not how news at any Pacifica station should be like. When I say we, I mean the D.C. Radio Co-op. I'm not going to be here all complaining and stuff. I got solutions for this. I'm here asking you to help WPFW put a little Tabasco sauce in its news, make it a little hotter. Reem Kathuda offers that. Everybody knows her, and everybody knows how she works and how she organizes. I'm here to call for support of Reem Kathuda and the D.C. Radio Co-op, and I'm asking for all of you guys' help. Thank you.
Jeff Perez.
Jeff Paris, listener from Long Island, WBAI. First, I'd like to present this, but I'm going to need this copy back to the national board. This is the process of the elections, the local advisory election boards, the election people. First of all, I volunteered for WBAI quite a few times. Okay? I asked them many times. I said, I'm waiting for it. They kept saying November 12th. You should get it if you don't hear from them. I did not receive that ballot until 2 days before, so I delivered it with my $13.65 to the post office. 2 weeks later, I receive it back. It would have made a big difference in the election. Number two, they didn't offer the option of write-ins. The first one was an option of write-ins. I'm asking that the national board here nullify the local advisory elections with this matter because it would have made a big difference in the election. I'm not the only one. There's quite a few others. Producers like, I think it was Robert Knight, and even the, what's his name again? Bernard White. They didn't receive their ballots. I don't care who got elected to this board. This local advisory board. It's not the issue of the unity and justice or the, you know, the LISPROC serve or whoever. It's the issue of process. It's the issue of who goes in. Another thing, the due process of our producers. We know that Gary Noll may have done a few bad things, but he deserves. I fought very hard to get this station and Pacifica democratized again. I went to all the picket lines to get the people off the national, and to get everything back. I was one of the people on the streets and in front of the station to get it back. But again, it should apply to everyone, including Gary Noll and Robert Knight. Who's next? Bob Fass and who else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Vagra Kilgore, Lalani Duarte, Vatra.
I just want to speak very briefly because I had a moment of esprit d'escalier after I sat down and wished that I had not answered Rob's question so briefly when he asked if a one-meeting suspension would be sufficient to deal with the issue of very disruptive behavior in a meeting. I think it would actually encourage it, because where that kind of behavior is intended to prevent a board from doing its business, this now means that the behavior can occur again and again, requiring the board to vote a one-meeting suspension again and again, which means that it's a sort of a double, it doubles the time that can be knocked out by a person who's determined to prevent the board from doing any business. So I just wanted to make that clear, that I think it would actually encourage that kind of behavior rather than serve as a disincentive. Thank you.
Lalani, Jesse Hiwa.
Hi.
All right.
I'm speaking as a staff member. While I do know most of you, I do respect all of you, I do not want you guys to have possession of my personal information. As Patty Heffley had told me in Houston, because I work for a public corporation, I'm not entitled to privacy. I find that that is ill-worded, I believe. Salary and personnel information is protected under my constitutional rights. This has been something that I have been very vocal about, have written notice to the board about, and I hope that you all take that into consideration, you know, that there are people, just numbers, that work your foundation. And in this day and age with identity theft and other issues and stuff, I respect you all. I don't trust you with my social security number and my salary information. I just don't. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Jesse Hiwa, Evan Tobias.
Me too.
Hi, I'm Evan Tobias. I'm a listener member of the WBAI local station board, and I'm also the chair of the membership outreach and fundraising committee, so I want to welcome all of you to New York. Hope you've been having a good stay so far. I wanted to speak quickly about some outreach initiatives that have been going on at WBAI. In my experience of tabling many different events and getting around throughout the tri-state area, I want to let you know that there are people that have very positive feelings towards WBAI and are very glad that it's alive, and the Pacifica Network as well, because everyone that I meet says there's nothing else out there like that, and they hope that it stays alive and stays in existence. I also wanted to bring to your notice that most of the people that submit volunteer forms to us are youth or younger people. And I think that all the stations, the network, WBAI, WPFW, all of the Pacifica stations and affiliates could probably do a lot more initiative towards bringing more youth into the network. I think the younger people are going to be the future of all the stations as time goes on, and it's good to have them come into the station now, not just programming, but initiatives for them to get training, initiatives for them to do different roles throughout the station, to provide their own information into the station, to possibly create satellites, media satellites outside of the stations for them to bring the material into the stations. I think it would give them a foot in the door of what it's like to run a station, what it's like to run progressive media, and to bring more people interested into this progressive movement. I think that if that requires funding and resources, I think we need to move things sort of in that direction so that we can, you know, encourage youth to be more involved in the stations. I also want to speak quickly about technology. Most other radio stations and networks have podcasts. They have archived MP3 files of programming. I think it would be very beneficial to the station to spread the information through technological initiatives. We all have websites, but not everyone has archived MP3 files of the programs. It's not very difficult to do. It might require a little training. I would encourage you to look in that direction, as well as possibly in the future looking towards satellite radio and initiatives that are going to bring all this information to a more wider group of people, more variety of people. So enjoy the rest of your time here, and please have a productive meeting and enjoy your time.
Thank you. Evan Tobias, Lorraine Ross, Mike Beasley.
That was Evan Tobias.
Where is everybody?
That was
Mike, why don't you come up? I don't know where that other person is.
Lorraine Ross.
No, but the woman he named didn't step up. Who was it?
Lorraine Ross.
Hi, Mike Beasley again. I hope everybody received my email. I sent it out late last night. Okay, about what to read to make you well informed.
Who's
supposed to go like me? You go to 24-hour internet cafe. You're in New York, folks. This is not Hicksville. This is high technology town. Okay, I missed this morning's meeting because I stayed up late last night trying to do things. So I missed the reports. But I'd like to speak to an issue which I'm glad a staff person brought up. I'm not staff, paid or unpaid or otherwise. I'm not elected or selected. I'm activist, listener activist, financial background, billions of dollars, real money, and nonprofits. I think this request by two people on this board, okay, of reimbursable expenses included petty cash vouchers for the past year, cash receipts, consulting contracts and related invoices for the past year, payroll sheets,
into the mic.
Payroll sheets, bi-monthly, okay, check ledger, okay, signed conflict of interest statements and disclosures. Now, first of all, I hope you're not going to allow this to go down. Well, it's legal, illegal. Slavery was legal, but we fought it. All right? This is ridiculous.
Here.
All right? No auditor, forensic, otherwise, would go through this. You can't pay to get this done. It will cost hours of labor. And then what do you get? They go through all of this. So what? What is being saved? What's being solved? What's it for? As opposed to going out and getting young people like Evan, recruiting them and bringing them to the station, doing important things, why are we worried about chicken stuff like this? Please don't let them do it, even if you have to kick them off the board to keep them from it.
Thank you. Suzanne Ross, Richard Phelps.
My name is Suzanne Ross, and I'm a longtime supporter of BAI and happened to have been at the meeting where Paul DiRienzo was suspended. And since that was an issue last night, I unfortunately could not be here. I want to address it today. I found Paul, I don't know Paul and know nothing about him from before and have no relationship to him. I found his behavior absolutely frightening and totally unacceptable. I can't imagine any self-respecting organization that would let someone like that come back for a second meeting at which has official status. I was born in Nazi Europe. When I heard him, to this day, when I hear Achtung, which just means attention, I shake. To hear Paul DiRienzo storming around the room, yelling Sieg Heil with his fist raised, was to me terrifying. And I don't get scared easily, but I found it absolutely reminiscent of tactics that have no place at all in a progressive movement. I think to give him, quotes, another chance is the kind of liberal BS that should be unacceptable to all of us. I also want to mention specifically that the danger of Paul DiRienzo giving that kind of message that this station is anti-Semitic and to call the people, most of whom are people of color, in some way imply that they are anti-Semitic, has a long, long history in WBAI. We know how many times BAI has been undermined in its mission and Pacifica as a whole with false charges. I don't mean nobody has ever said anything anti-Semitic. Surely that has been said. But to have this kind of implicit message to everybody. Watch out for these black and Latino people. They are really anti-Semites. It's dangerous. Dangerous to the radio station, dangerous to Pacifica, dangerous to our movement. It has been used again and again to build up momentum in the powerful right-wing Jewish community in this country. Let's not let it happen for one more minute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for putting all the time in that you do. My name is Richard Phelps. I'm a KPFA LSB member. And, you know, I have a daughter and about 9 nieces and nephews that I care about. And that's one of the reasons I'm involved in this, besides the fact that I care about the working people around the world. I want them to grow up and have a place to find out the truth. And that's why I'm involved in this, because this is the only thing left, really, of any substance. There are a lot of other little community stations, but they could be squashed in a minute. And we have some size and some potential and some signals that are amazing. And my concern is, yesterday and other times, these words are often said and sometimes dealt with, and there are problems. But I have another one I want us to think about. You know, people talk about racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, but the big elephant that's in the room and in the movement, and in the problems that the U.S. left forever and ever, is another ism. And we all have to deal with it, and most people don't. And it's called individualism. Okay? Everybody's out for their own ass. And damn it, when I come to these meetings and I hear people fudge things and use hyperbole that's not true and lie about things, it makes me sick and embarrassed that I'm part of this movement. Knowledge is a collective process. It comes through the crucible of practice. But if you put in bad information into it, you get bad results. You have got to be truthful with each other. You cannot lie. You've got to fight fair, and then the winner wins. But if you buy the referee or if you cheat and win, it doesn't mean anything. In fact, you're putting us backward. I'm going to leave you with a quote from a lady who's not a great social commentator, but you know something? Truth sometimes is seen by people because it's so raw out there. Lily Tomlin once said something, and we all should live with this. If you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Jane Jackson, Pat Logan, Leslie Radford.
That's a hard act, hard two acts to follow. I guess I'm here, one, to say best wishes to Dan Coughlin, and two, to affirm what Larry Buckholter wrote and asked me to read yesterday, and relate that to what Mr. Wisdom just had to say, that when you seek a new executive director, may I suggest that you take seriously the request that can affect everybody in this room, and that is for a fiscal, financial, and program audit of all the stations, the national office, and the archives. And I say that because I am getting increasing comments to go after the Corporation for Public Broadcasting money, because I guess I have to remind you that since 1977, when a few of us challenged the federal government, made the Guinness Book of Records, and have been virtually ignored since that time, that all federal money is in fact protected, or we are supposedly protected as people with disabilities. That is why cities and counties and states have had to take the issue more seriously. Well, it also applies to Pacifica, and I plead with you to get away from your denial, and we all have it. I can't even connect war and disability, and that's, you know, pretty hard and pretty easy, one would think, to do. Yes, William, I see your sign. And so I am here to plead with you to not have this thing escalate, but to do what Larry encouraged you to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat Logan, a WBAI subscriber and volunteer at the station. First of all, I'd like to express my disappointment that you passed the resolution about the Blue Ribbon Commission without Patty Heffley's amendment, because I am very afraid that if attorneys give verbal opinions and in our eagerness to have affirmative action, we act on those opinions, and then the attorneys step back and say they did not exactly say what we did, and then the foundation could be in legal trouble, and I do not want that to happen. Taking another instance of legal responsibility where we have to make sure we're not in violation, I'm very anxious to hear what the outcome of the investigation about what happened to Robert Knight at WBAI, what the outcome of that investigation has been, because I think it's very serious that Robert was verbally attacked and that his files were breached, and therefore the confidentiality of his sources as a journalist were breached. That's very serious. While volunteering at BAI, I have been treated with respect, and I haven't had any problems personally, but there have been a lot of hate-filled actions of homophobia at the station, homophobic comments, and there has been a lot of violence at LSB meetings.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
And I think that this needs to be addressed by the board. If we're going to worry about the speech of Paul DiRienzo, we also have to worry about people actually being physically hit and people of certain slates being called racist and other things like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, 5 seconds.
Leslie Radford, Willie Thompson, Gerald Saunders.
Hi. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your audit. I hope that's going to be posted on the web. And as a listener out here, the financial transparency is certainly improving. I thank you for that. On the Blue Ribbon Commission, I hope not only that the lawyers issue a verbal report to the executive session, but again, I hope the listeners hear what you hear, because this whole bylaws convention that's upcoming, I assume, will involve listeners as well, and we should know in detail what that determination is. You're going to be addressing the Finance Committee report, in which they talk about the race and nationality financing that you're going to be looking at. I have a few concerns about that, and I talked to Mike about it as you were taking a break. First of all, I'm concerned in that report that the fundraising is limited to an on-air campaign. This body asked for multiple streams of revenue, and I think that should be looked at. I'm also concerned that there are no startup funds for the remainder of this fiscal year, which essentially puts off the race and nationality policy until October 1, January 1. This policy has been languishing for 3 years without funding. If we can get it up and running with some funding now, we need to do that. The report provides no funding for the Blue Ribbon Commission. They only need some expense money, not much, but certainly to cover their Xeroxing phone costs. There's no funding for anti-oppression training. Mike tells me that that's going to be part of the national coordinator's position, but if that position isn't filled until January 1, we won't have training until March. And I guess my final concern on this is that they have rolled the race and nationality programming into the Spanish language newscast and put one person in charge of both projects. We originally hoped the race and nationality coordinator would be taking that position. We certainly have no assurance that the Spanish language producer would necessarily be qualified to do the race and nationality programming. Those are my concerns. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Willie Thompson, Gerald Sanders.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I first of all want to congratulate you, not necessarily on the audit.
Can I have the microphone?
I want to congratulate you, not necessarily on the audit report, but on this very sharp questioning you had of the auditor, so that we would come to understand ultimately that the audit report doesn't really tell us a great deal of detail about the financial operation. I think the financial operation clearly is improving, but your sharp questioning, I think, will assure us that it is. You know, once you get an opportunity to do that. There are a number of issues that I want to present, and I know I have only 30 seconds, but one has to do with the very excellent report you've given to the crisis in Haiti. As you know, the crisis in Haiti is worsening. I want to commend you and encourage you to stay on top of that in your reporting and your concern. We do have, and I brought along with me, a new pamphlet that really talks about the crisis in Haiti now, especially on Aristide. And there are some copies here that are available to you for a small donation outside. The other thing is the issue that Leslie Ratford spoke to, the issue of the Race Nationality Committee. I encourage you to, and I think you are beginning to take much more seriously and give some much more specific time to that particular issue. And I think finally, because my time is probably is near an end, I've just learned of Dan Coughlin's intention to resign, and I've also known, Coughlin, and I've also heard some of the reasons why, and I commend him for wanting to give more time to his family and also on the coming birth of his children. But I also want to encourage you, since I was also the chairman of the General Managing Selecting Committee at KPFA, to move quickly to fill the position, because the lack of leadership at the top can cause a great deal of instability at the bottom. We have, as a result of selecting a general manager at KPFA, we have experienced a great deal of stability and order in our operation, and I encourage you to move toward the same objective. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Gerald Sanders, Sheila Hamanaka.
How are y'all doing today? That when we talk about the, or at least disclosure from my perspective, from what I understand, that does not mean we take you in the room and strip you down and we want your social security number put up on the whip. No, that's not quite what people mean by full disclosure. So understand that might not be the best argument for in defense of privacy. That's not what it's about. So I want you to really think about that, not let that particular argument affect your decisions here. But we do now have, obviously, I think you guys need to meet this challenge. If, in fact, Mr. Coughlin is going to be leaving us in 3 months, you do have a responsibility. You have to step up here. Now, you don't wait until he leaves and then you want to start a ED search. You know, you start it now. You know if he's leaving. You want to establish a committee right now, so that you can have a smooth transition. You need, when I talk about this continuity yesterday, it's very important to have not only real continuity, but also the appearance of stability and order. It doesn't look good. You don't want to leave it open here that there's some problem or scandal that's been hidden.
Do you have the agenda?
And then, you know, people start, the rumor mill starts, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You can and should handle this. And I think you can, and I hope you will. And starting that ED search publicly and the tone through which you conduct that business really matters. And I think you guys will step up to that. I think you'll grow into that. The unintended consequence, my goodness, can you just imagine if you don't handle that properly what people might start saying about Pacifica?
And
well, yeah, you know what? That's right. And you want to know something? That's not good. That's not good, actually. That's a problem. I've been to other conferences and heard what people have to say about Pacifica, and it's not good.
Thanks, Gerald.
Okay. Act on it.
Sheila Hamanaka, Rafael Rentiera.
Good afternoon. Sheila Hamanaka from Rockland Friends of WBAI. I'm here to encourage the board to fund in a serious way anti-racism training throughout Pacifica. I know there's a common mythology that progressive people can never be racist. it's obviously a problem. I mean, here in WBAI itself, one of our former board members who stepped down, Luann Panessi, issued a public statement saying that we should examine the backgrounds of all newly hired blacks and friends of management. Aside from that, which is, I mean, it's rather shocking, it's on our own board, there are other incidents on the air in staffing, programming throughout the network. And this is a reflection of a state of mind, really. It's the consciousness of ourselves as a collective. If we really want something, we're going to go for it. If we're really opposed to racism, if we see it as a serious problem that is crippling the political movement in this country, we will act on it with speed and with purpose, and we will put our money where our mouths are. Now, in terms of anti-racist training, there are all kinds of anti-racist trainers out there. There are some people want anti-racist trainers because they don't want to get sued. So they say, you know, that's the corporate approach. Other people are into what's called a touchy-feely approach. But I would like to see this board find anti-racist trainers that have a power analysis that addresses race as it's related to power and class in this country, because that's what we should be concerned about. So thank you.
Raphael, Paul Di Rienzo. Raphael, are you here?
No, he's not here.
No.
First, I'd like to address the issue of anti-Semitism. My show, Let 'Em Talk, was replaced by a show by the program director of BAI, Kamu Kalfani, the host. He said the word Jew comes from jewelry. Jews are the spoiled brats of the world. And I have that on my website, and I would give you the tape, and the transcripts are all over the Internet. Just type in the show. That's what my show, Let Them Talk, a free speech-oriented show, was replaced with, Under the Learning Tree with Kamau Kalfani. That might explain some of my feelings. I'd like to say that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about language, but not a lot of talk about the assaults against people that have gone on. Besides Michael Warren here, who assaulted me at a meeting, and I have the video of him assaulting me, and I will show it. I have showed it to many of you. Many of you have seen it on the website, and I will be happy to. I have it with me, and we'll show it to you in the other room anytime you want. Him and also other people who are supporters of his point of view assaulted me, and they grabbed me, and they tried to take the camera away from me. Attorney Warren struck me in the chest, wrestled with me in order to get the camera out of my hands. You've seen the tape. There's other tapes that were taken of it from outside of my perspective, and there are also eyewitnesses who would be more than willing to talk about it. Those weren't the only. Carolyn Burden, who's a member of our LSB, has filed police reports against Io Harrington, who works for WBAI, Errol Maitland, who works for WBAI, and Mike Beasley, who just spoke here. All three have police reports against them in investigations. Carolyn Burden says she was struck and assaulted by them, and others were assaulted by them. Ms. Kilgore, who seems so, upset by what happened at the WBAI meeting, is a person who refused to continue the use of security guards. We had security guards after that incident in the summer, and she had them all removed. And I demanded that she bring back the security guards, but she said there was no security problem at WBAI and no need for those security guards. I'd like to end up by saying that it's pretty hypocritical when the man who now sits in judgment of me and leading the prosecution of me is with the person who has not been suspended for one single meeting for that action that happened as a board member on the board. Now, in fact, he sits on the national board judging me. It's hypocrisy, and I ask you not to be hypocritical. Thank you.
Don White, Frank Lefevre.
Very briefly, in the same way that the LSB chair from New York had a regret after the report she gave, I also do. I did not want to leave the impression that the Community Advisory Board in Los Angeles at KPFK is a paper board. It is a functioning board that's meeting. I want to pay tribute to Julie Chavez Rodriguez, Bill Gallegos, and others who worked very hard to create that CAB.
Lawrence Reyes.
Pardon me?
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes, and Lawrence Reyes, who is not on the LSB, but very active in the community, an activist in the Puerto Rican movement. The CAB, I meant to say, is beautiful on paper, but has not yet reached the level of capacity that we want to see it functioning at. And therefore, my only point there was to just say that we're continuing to work to increase the capacity and the effectiveness of the CAB. We want to commend them for the work they have done. The other thing is, I'm asked by a collective in Los Angeles who's working around a possible elevator at KPFK to make the archives accessible to people through the ADA compliance that we strive for. They addressed the board in Los Angeles and delivered a statement to you, and also, I believe, some requests for information. And that collective, that's linked very much to the challenge community in Los Angeles, is anxious to have a reply.
Thank you. Frank Lefevre, Reem Kahuta, Marion Borenstein.
Good morning. My name is Frank Lefevre. I don't know if you folks
speak directly into the mic.
Yeah, I don't know if you folks have had a chance yet to experience the popular outdoor sidewalk sport in New York City, known as the shell game. They don't use actual shells these days. They use the pieces of cardboard with things on them, sort of like financial records, you might say. And they shuffle them around so that you don't get to see all three at the same time. Now, I experienced something very much like that in the many, many, many hours I spent on the Finance Committee. We were given these long sheets of what apparently were very well disclosed, you know, detailed statements, but when we'd ask a specific question about any one particular item there, well, it sort of squirmed off into another category. The biggest category, of course, was consultants and vendors and contractors. We have been chasing that particular missing card all year, and I think they kicked it upstairs and called them employees. Now, whether they actually filed W-2 forms or that sort of thing, I really don't know. Mike says, well, when they find these receipts and check stuff and so on and so forth and so on, so what? Well, I think the question is, will they actually find them? I know for a fact that there have been original documents relevant to financial and to voting records shredded, and I know there are a lot of problems in the voting situation. And finally, I just want to say, I don't know Dan Coughlin. It's the first time I've ever met him. I see that people who do know him think very highly of him personally. I just want to say that if he is going to seek guidance from the PNB as to whether he should accord a director her legal rights to inspect the books, he might also ask the board's guidance as to whether he should comply with their own requests for financial records.
Thank you. Reem?
Hi. I hope that as we talk about the bolts and nuts of how to build this pipe that will distribute our content, that we spend some time talking about the said content, that we look if we're really distributing it to enough listeners and which quality, which issues we're covering and how we're covering them. These are very dangerous times. And for me as an Arab and a Muslim, I know even more than a whole lot of people what it's like. They stopped a Syrian like me that was just in transit through the country, held him for 2 years, tortured him, and now he's able to be out and suing, but it just gives you a flair. So I hope that we're able to spend time on our airwaves and on our board looking at how we're connecting the dots, how we're educating our listeners, and how we're bringing in less educated listeners in these issues to enlighten them, not just preach to the choir. So our distribution strategies, I haven't heard the board talk much about that. I think it's very relevant. I still find a whole lot of news people, leave alone other types of producers across the network, that don't know how to use the audio port, that don't know how to post on it or use stuff on it. So I really hope we can distribute better. And I have a survey. How many of you know that the Pacifica, Washington Bureau, and WPFW produces headline news packages 4 times a day, Monday to Friday, 5 minutes. How many? Can you raise a hand?
I sort of know, but we never hear it.
Okay. So I hope that more of the network feed us reports and also carry these reports. It's really important that we share content to be more efficient. We don't have the money to do it all in each site redundantly. So I really hope that before the end of tomorrow, I will hear from the board some more analysis of the content, of the distribution means, of the methodology, and really concentrating on what we're supposed to produce, which is radio and education in other ways than radio, which we seem to never get around to in Pacifica. Thank you.
Thank you, Reem. Marion?
I want to, first of all, welcome...
Speak directly into it.
I want to welcome the board to New York City. There are lots of things to do, and if you have a chance, take advantage of it. First of all, I want to say to Dan Coughlin, if you think you were in a struggle here, the struggle to raise children will be an interesting struggle. I have three of them, and I know what I'm talking about. I also want to say I hope the board will look very carefully at this whole question of what this board did in restoring some sanity to our board meetings. I think you should look at it very carefully before you make a decision and think of our autonomy and what we are to do to carry out and execute our board meetings. We did what we had to do. I was there. I know some of the history of this WBAI going back before local station boards were there. And I know some of the behavior that I saw of this individual, which I think we've given him enough publicity and we don't need any more of it. Thank you.
I want to thank all of the participants in the public participation. It's now about time for lunch. We've finished 4 minutes early. Let's get back 4 minutes early so we can continue.
Dave has a quick motion.
Yes. No, we don't need a motion to break for lunch. Yes. Yeah, in 1 hour.
Mr. Chair.
Everyone listen up.
Hold on.
Excuse me.
Zarina.
I guess I'm not on, but I just wanted to say, particularly for the people that are here in the audience and for the board, we have this DVD, which is called Voices in Wartime, and we would like to show it. I wanted to show it when there were enough people to really see it and make some sort of assessment. That would be the board and people in the audience. We're going to show it during lunchtime, so we hope that you'll stick around. It's 37 minutes, and it's worth looking at. It's not a war film. It's about how war affects people. That means you and me. Thank you.
Serena, what time are you going to start it?
Dan is going to help me get this set up, and so let's say in about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Okay?
Be back. You want me to pick up your lunch?
I'm going to go on.